All right, kid. Are you standing on the corner of Wall and William Street? If you're not there yet, pause this track now and press play when you are. Okay, here we are. Wall Street. You're standing on one of the most famous streets in the world. It got its name from a 12-foot wall the Dutch built here in 1653. They were trying to keep out the Indians and the British. But that didn't last. Now walk over to the large metal double doors at 48 Wall Street. This is now the Museum of American Financial History. In the 1780s, this spot was the home and law office of Alexander Hamilton, our first Secretary of the Treasury. Hamilton's also the true godfather of Wall Street. You probably know him as a founding father who helped write the Constitution, but he also set up our modern financial system. Hamilton believed investing in stocks and bonds was the best way for the government and companies to get money to grow. So he got the government to sell bonds to the public with the guarantee that they would get their money back later with interest. And he also encouraged the public to buy stock in companies so they could own a share of it. Hamilton believed that the stock and bond markets were the key to America's future. He had no idea that 200 years later, Wall Street would become the center of the financial world. But since the 1790s, one thing hasn't changed: that when the market crashed, the people paid for it.
He ran down Pine Street. Follow him.
It's March 1792. Meet William Dewar, Wall Street's first insider trader.
Hamilton, open up. For the love of God, open up.
Dewar, how dare you come here? The law is after you.
Please, Hamilton, you've got to help me.
You stole from the United States Treasury, Dewar. Why would I ever help you?
We're family, for Christ's sake.
Only by marriage, Dewar. Look, didn't I warn you last year about borrowing too much money and speculating so recklessly? I told you then I had serious fears for you, for your purse, and for your reputation.
I see him over on Wall Street.
Can't you just loan me something to pay back my debts? This mob is out for my blood.
Frankly, I don't blame them. I once had faith in you, Dewar, but no more. Good day, sir.
Don't worry. The cops found Dewar before the mob did and tossed him into debtor's prison. Probably the first time cops have saved anyone's life. Now start walking down Wall, but stay on the same side of the street. Walk to the corner of Wall and Pearl. Make sure that when you hear the next chime, you're standing outside of 74 Wall Street. William Dewar went down in history for setting off America's first stock market panic. He started a frenzy buying up stock based on tips from his inside connections. Stock prices rose in America's first bull market. But it didn't last. A wealthy New York family pulled out their own money from the banks, trying to drive stock prices down. This forced banks to call in their own loans, which triggered a bank run. As the market crashed, Dewar and everyone he borrowed from lost everything. Alexander Hamilton stepped in with the government's first bailout. But even though he ordered the Treasury to provide money to the banks, New York City still lost $5 million.
At length, our paper bubble is burst. The failure of Dewar in New York soon brought on others, and these still more like nine pins knocking one another down. The credit and fate of the nation seem to hang on the desperate throes and plunges of these gambling scoundrels.
Another founding father, Thomas Jefferson, had a field day. He bitterly opposed Hamilton's plan for the financial system. and argued that investing was just another way for the rich to make a buck off the hard-working farmers and the poor. Jefferson's buddy, James Madison, also agreed.
There must be something wrong, radically and morally and politically wrong, in a system which transfers the reward from those who paid the most valuable of all considerations to those who scarcely paid any consideration at all.
You should now be at the corner of Wall and Pearl, in front of 74 Wall Street. Dewar's bad press also pissed off the other brokers, who decided to set up their own club. On this corner, a group of 24 merchants signed the Buttonwood Agreement, which formed the New York Stock Exchange. They named the agreement after a large buttonwood tree, or sycamore, that once grew here.
We, the subscribers, brokers for the purchase and sale of the public stock, do hereby solemnly promise and pledge ourselves to each other that we will not buy or sell from this day for any person whatsoever any kind of public stock, at least than 0.25% commission on the specie value, and that we will give preference to each other in our negotiations. In testimony whereof we have set our hands this 17th day of May at New York, 1792.
Agreed!
The New York Stock Exchange was the first stock market organization. They established rules for trading stocks, including a set commission the brokers could all charge their customers. Of course, Jefferson might have called that price fixing, but they called it good business. Now keep walking down until you reach the corner of Wall and Water Streets. Stop when you get there. The New York Stock Exchange now had to find an official place to do their business. In 1793, they built the Tontine Coffee House.
The Tontine Tavern and Coffee House is a handsome, large brick building. You ascend 6 or 8 steps under a portico into a large public room, which is the Stock Exchange of New York, where all bargains are made. The house was built to the accommodation of merchants. You can lodge and board there at a common table, and you pay 10 shillings currency a day whether you dine out or not.
That's how a British traveler in 1794 described their new home. You should now be at Water and Wall. Look directly to your right. The Tontine Coffee House used to be on the corner, right where that office building is. There's a picture of it on page 2 of the Curb Exchange newspaper. By 1817, the New York Stock Exchange had moved to another building, but the Tontine had already gone down in history. So Wall Street, the New York Stock Exchange, and America's first stock market crash all really grew out of the battle between Hamilton and Jefferson over our financial system. In one corner, there was Hamilton, who encouraged business and investment. In the other corner was Jefferson, who believed that investing would only benefit the rich, not the poor. Their legacies of free market versus government regulation have shaped Wall Street history. And their feud over how much power Wall Street would have and who was going to keep an eye on it continues to this day. Now let's head to the Gilded Age, the next important era in Wall Street's history. Make sure you follow the map on page 3 before you play track 3. We're going to hear about a time in the 1860s when Wall Street was paved with gold, for some people at least.